You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30pm with Stephen Powell, Chris Pimlott and James Millman in the studio. It's Catterick, Lingfield and Musselburgh on Wednesday afternoon. Kempton, Stratford and racing over in Ireland from Bellewstown on Wednesday evening. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Sam Turner. How are you, Sam?
I'm very well. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. Not too bad. Not
good,
too bad
you forgot my name then for a minute, didn't you? Nah, you had to think who was sitting next to you for a minute.
I was waiting for the jingle to finish.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Sorry, I've outed you for no good reason.
Yeah, you know, real professional presenter waiting for the timing of the jingle.
Yeah, terrific. That'd make a change, wouldn't it?
It would, wouldn't it? Yeah. Bit of a chat about the ARC to start with.
Yes.
Just because we've got a bit of fresh news with Le Cressonnier winning in France as just before we record this, in fact, and shortened from 11-1 into 8-1 in the betting for this year's Breeder Like to Triumph. And she's an unbeaten filly. Three-year-old fillies have a good record in the race. Yeah. Plenty of things pointing the right direction for
her. Yeah, she's been absolutely terrific this year, hasn't she? As has the stable of Jean-Claude Rouget. He had the first four home in that group too. The Lalonette Beachcomber Hotels Le Royal Palm Ile Maurice Group 2. There you go. I fancy being a commentator trying to get that out and through the first furlong. But yeah, she was 2-9, enjoyed a really nice, smooth preparation. Rouget ran four of the five runners. They finished 1, 2, 3, 4. And Roger Varian's filly was fifth, Nezoir. So nice day for them. Nice day for the stable. Picked up a few quid in winning prize money, 90,103, nearly 130,000 euro. Had four of the five runners. It'd be nice if you were a trainer going into a race like that, wouldn't it? And say she obliged at just short of the 1-4, beat stablemate Jamail by a couple of lengths and barely needed to be nudged out to do so.
Yeah, I suppose if there is such a thing in racing, bit of a scouting mission there for Roger Varian as well, obviously having a run there. He's got postponed at the top of the market for the Prix de Light de Triomphe, who I thought was pretty impressive at York, kind of stamped his authority on the race.
Yeah, I had real reservations going to the race. Obviously, Roger's horses started to find a little bit of form in the days leading up to the race. Had a good winner at Doncaster on the Saturday. Obviously, Barsanti had won that week as well. So there was a little bit more confidence around the yard that they'd emerged from the quiet spell and the virus that had hit a lot of Newmarket and a lot of the stables there. And I thought postponed it really well. He was racing over a trip that was probably just short of his best. He travelled through the race beautifully. He beat a King George winner in Highland Reel. You know, there were good horses like Hawkbill that couldn't go the gallop with him. I thought it was a pretty stunning performance, really. And some people will crib the effort and say, well, he didn't win by very far. But there was enough mitigating circumstances to suggest that he perhaps wouldn't win at all. Yeah, he's got the job done. He's become a highly professional, high-quality racehorse. And, you know, he delighted the York crowds with a really sparkling performance. I thought it was a really good display.
Yeah, and I think he's ultra consistent at the moment as well. He's a rock solid proposition. Even with the question marks around him there, you still kind of got the performance you would expect from most of his ilk.
Yeah, and he can't have come into the race in cherry ripe because he had the respiratory infection which ruled him out of the King George. You know, connections were wise just to be patient there and hang on for York. And their faith was vindicated and the way that they trained him was vindicated as well. And Roger Varian, brilliant trainer, very much in tune with his horses and what they need. And he managed to pull off another big victory for the owner, which will have gone down very well, I should imagine, at Kremlin House. They'll be under a fair bit of pressure there with the obeyed colours in full residence at Kremlin House. And they managed to land another big prize for the very vocal owner.
1 minute up to be a good arc. Postponed 7-2 at the top of the market. Jewel, Derby winner, Harzan, 5-1 second favourite. Mining is 7-1. One of the best fillies we've seen for some time. Le Cressonnier is 8-1. 12-1 for the Japanese Raider, Makahiki. It's a theme with the arc at the moment. New Bay 12s, 14s or bigger for the others. We've got all that to look forward to.
We have.
the question mark of Shaun T as well, just thrown into the mix nicely.
Yeah, yeah, obviously a different, different location this year with them redeveloping Longchamp. You've also got Audra St. George, who might come back in trip, would be an interesting contender for Aidan O'Brien and US Army Ranger.
He's got a foot for a state, hasn't he?
So. He has, yeah, yeah. And he's had a very light campaign, really. Had a good break since the Gold Cup. Came back and won nicely the other day. Did what he had to do. And, you know, it's a common theme with a lot of the Ballydoyle horses. They just have that little mid-season break just after Royal Ascot, and then they get built up for the big autumn prizes, and that's going to be the case with him, I think.
Mm. Yeah, we'll obviously move on to that in more detail later on in the coming weeks and months, but let's probably start concentrating on Wednesday, probably a good time, unless there's anything else on your mind before I move on, Tom?
Just interesting Sun headline on the front of the Racing Post, isn't it? Referring to the two ladies who unveiled themselves at the Cheltenham Festival. They've been banned for life from racecourses.
Yeah.
It's nice to see the BHA, you know, moving, you know, quite remarkably swiftly. It's only taken them 6 months to locate them and ban them. And, you know, fingers crossed they'll take the same and adopt the same policy with those that, you know, like to start tear-ups at our racecourses on a Saturday afternoon and Saturday evening, you know, Lingfield, Newbury. I think we've all witnessed a punch-up or two if we've been to the races. And it's a pretty unedifying and pretty, frankly, quite scary proposition for a lot of people, a lot of racegoers who go. And, you know, that is the sort of behaviour I think that the BHA should be checking, you know, really cracking down on. Not so much two girls. Yeah, it's tasteless, it's classless, you know, and it's disappointing behaviour. But they're young kids who, you know, got a bit drunk. They weren't really causing any great offence to, you know, I don't imagine there's many of the male population that were pretty upset by it. And yes, I quite agree that some people might take particular offence, but I think more offensive to me is certain individuals who've been warned off by the BHA walking straight back into racecourses after serving their time. You know, that I find that a little bit more distressing, to be honest. And people who decide that they want to have a fight at the races when you've paid 30 or 40 quid for your ticket and you just want to have a nice day out. I think those are more areas of concern for me.
Yeah.
I understand where you've got men, you know, testosterone and, you know, lager and probably lads who either lost a few quid or are trying to fight over a particular female, then, you know, temperatures are going to run high and there are going to be issues. But, you know, we need to be spending a lot more money on security and making sure that the normal person who goes through the turnstile at a race course and pays a good whack, let's be honest, for their ticket is going to be safe and not get abused and not come into contact with that sort of loutish behaviour. That would be more of a concern for me, and hopefully they'll sort that out. I'd also love to add, how are they going to police this? You know, how if these two girls decide that they want to go to Aintree along with sort of 70, 80,000 on Grand National Day, I'm sorry, there's nobody on the door that is going to recognise either of them two girls and refuse them admittance into a race course. I can't see it myself. So it's a pretty pointless exercise for me.
No. Be interesting to, you know, if they put the picture up on the wall, don't let these two in, which picture they use.
Yes, yes. Do you recognise these two? we jest, of course, and you know, it's very easy to be glib about these things, but, you know, I think it's a point-scoring exercise, really.
Let's leave that there, then. Let's talk about the racing on Wednesday.
I think we're fully abreast of that situation.
I think we are, yes, well done. We're going to get Sam's thoughts in four races for Wednesday, and we'll get them on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Got a decent mix of action on Wednesday, racing on the turf and over the jump stand on the all-weather as well. So we'll spin through a few of these. The 3 o'clock at Musselburgh is where we start. This is a Class 4 handicap over 5 furlongs. This race is for 3-year-olds and older. We've got a field of 10 to go to post here, Sam. And... there's mapping time and Bunt arriving here in winning form. A few of others in, not the best of form.
No,
really, so.
No, that's, I think that's fair to say. It's a tricky old handicap as well. And as usual, expediency from the gates is going to be a major contributing factor to whatever manages to win it. You miss a beat here at Musselburgh, you really are struggling. So with that in mind, I think stakes kept to a minimum. But if forced for a selection 24 hours before the event, Olivia Fallow would probably... get the nod. Paul Midgley's four-year-old has just slipped back down the weights from 88 into an 85, and that means that she can run in this 0-85 handicap. She's got plenty of experience at Musselburgh. She's been competing quite well back through May and June in Class 3 affairs. She was running in a listed contest just a couple of months ago at Ayr and went four lengths behind Marcia, and we know what she's managed to achieve subsequently. Then two recent runs haven't been seeing her sort of hit the heights, really. She was down the field in a muscle race won by Kibar, owned by our very own Luke Elder. And then disappointing last time at Doncaster, and I was there when she was well behind, well adrift of Bathsheba. But the flip side is that the handicapper has shown a little bit of leniency, let her slip into a 0-85. It's a class four as well, which is a weaker race than she's been contesting. Hopefully she can concede weight all round.
That's some selection then. In the first race we look at, the second race is the 3:20 at Catterick. This is a class four handicap over 7 furlongs. This race is for the three-year-olds. And we'll start with Baron Bolt, if we may. So I thought he was relatively interesting on the back of his, I'd say, comfortable success at Catterick last
time. Yeah, he's going to get the vote. We had Usain Bolt last week, Baron Bolt this week. And yeah, fingers crossed he can enjoy the same sort of strike rate. Paul Cole has not been scared in taking this horse north this year, and he's been to Catterick for a couple of trips since mid-April, and they've resulted in a couple of nice victories as well. He beat a reasonably decent individual last time by a couple of lengths, winning quite snugly. The cheap pieces look to have just sharpened him up a little bit as well. He's run quite well in defeat a couple of times, not least at Newmarket on soft ground, which was probably not ideal over that trip for him, over 7 furlongs behind Sainted, but he wasn't disgraced with Luke Morris on board, and now he's 7 furlongs again with a bit of cut in the ground, but on a faster track at Catterick, and that could see him go very close here. As I say, 2 trips to Catterick since April, 2 victories by 6 lengths and 2.5 lengths, and although he's a horse that perhaps the handicapper might feel as though he's got a grip with now, he's gone from 75 to 84, I still think there's a little bit of upside with him.
All right, Baron Bolt in the selection for Sam in the 3:20. Moving to Kempton next for the 6:40. This is a class 4 3-year-old handicap over a mile. We've got a field of 14 to go to post here. And I thought this was quite a warm race, and there's plenty in there with chances.
But yeah, tough heat. You know, you've obviously got some big stables that are represented. Lightly raced 3-year-olds at this time of year, they can improve quite markedly. I mean, Notary is obviously going to be popular. You know, she won at Goodwood last year. She hasn't been seen since. You know, Roger Varian wouldn't be running her unless they felt that she was absolutely A1. So, you know, she's a very interesting contender here, and a horse that, you know, probably the rest of the field would be pretty scared of, I would imagine. I'm going to go for quite a solid all-weather campaigner. He's been on the track at Kempton and Lingfield a fair bit in the last 12 months, and that's North Creek, who ran poorly last time at Yarmouth, off today's marker, 79. But previous to that, had run really well behind General Ship here and was only beaten 3 lengths in a very strong time. He also run 3 times in swift succession at Lingfield, all over 7 furlongs. So he is a little bit of a 7 furlong specialist. But I think stepping up in trip might just help him a little bit now. I think he's, you know, perhaps needing that 8th furlong. And just that's the evidence of the races that I've seen, you know, probably through the spring and into the summer. That Yarmouth test last time was just too quick for him. I think back on a synthetic surface with James Doyle booked, I think he can go well in a difficult race to unravel.
Yeah, and if you look back at that Kempton run over a mile, he was staying on in the final furlong.
Yeah.
So you'd say that there shouldn't be too many issues with going back up to a mile.
And I'll just pass on another note for Enduring Power as well. He's a gelding by Approved, trained by Brendan Powell. Sprung a surprise last time at 33-1, but I think the trainer feels that he's nicely handicapped off a mark of 76. He thought he'd be the wrong side of 80. So if he's a decent price, I might just have a little Rod Laver on him as well.
All right. Final race we look at is the 6:50 at Stratford. Bit of jumping to finish here. Class 3 handicap chase over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. We've got 7 of them in the lineup here. What are your thoughts in the last race we look at?
Yeah, I must admit this is a race that foxed me a little bit, as did probably the previous three as well, as results will suggest. But there was very few that I wanted to be with here. I think there's going to be a day with Surf and Turf soon, but he has switched stables from a yard that did very well with him. No, like, he's a bit of a course specialist, but he just looks a little bit out of form at the moment. So there wasn't a lot of positives, really. I mean, Definite Future won a weak race last time but could improve, but I don't know anything about his rider, so that's another no-go. So I've ended up dropping on Roman Flight, really. Noel Feely booked for David Dennis, ran really well on the flat when we last saw him, was beaten 9 lengths at Nottingham in a competitive Class 3 handicap. That was a race that suited those who raced prominently. He was a 50-1 chance that day, but was 6th and ran quite well. So I think back over fences, on decent ground as well. You know, we saw him in July that he was a pretty potent force when he gets fast ground. He was impressive when winning at Stratford off a mark of 131. He's off 134 now, but I think in a race which might not take a great deal of winning, I think he's one of very few with an upside.
Yeah, and if you look back at those Utoxeter and Stratford runs, he's running in better company than this.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And I think there's a little bit of more improvement to come. He's in Antonius Pius as well, so you imagine decent ground will suit him. We're supposed to get a couple of really dry, warm days as well. So the ground at Stratford should be absolutely ideal. There should be no excuses. I suppose he is just stepping up in trip a little bit. But, you know, Connections ran him over mile six on the flat last time, so they must surely think that he can get 2-3 on a tight track such as this. And Dave Dennis got a very good record at Stratford. He seems to have plenty of winners in these favourites colours. And I just think he is a yard that is definitely going forward at the moment. Roman Flight's 3 from 5 at Stratford as well. So, you know, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to work out that he's probably had this race in mind for him.
Yeah, yeah. Fair enough. Let's have a little bit of a summary then, Sam, before you go, if you'll just spin us through your final selections then for the Wednesday.
Yeah, can do. Yeah, Musselburgh 3 o'clock, Olivia Fallow. Hopefully she's dropped to a mark that enables her to get into a race that she can be competitive in. Where were we after that? We were Catterick, weren't we? 3:20, mm-hmm. The 7 furlong handicap. Baron Bolt, another course specialist who can hopefully win his third race up at the North Yorkshire venue this year. Kempton's 6:40 looks a tricky affair, but North Creek might be worth playing each way. At a decent price. And then it's Stratford, another course specialist in the 6:50. Roman Flight bids for his fourth win at the Midlands venue.
Superb, good work, Sam. Good to see you again. Good luck and
cheers,
enjoy
Mark.
On Wednesday.
Thanks very much.
So there you go, the thoughts of Sam Turner on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. with Stephen Powell, Chris Pimlott and James Millman in the studio. Catterick, Lingfield and Musselburgh will provide the action in the afternoon. It's Kempton, Stratford and Bellewstown in the evening. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.